And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, A Pattern for Peace, was written by Mark Siegel.
On the Broad Avenue, the traffic of a great city slowly grinds by. One-way traffic, a means to expediency. To the right, between the avenue and the busy river, a bright and open square, the capital of the world. And marking the frontier between America and the headquarters of the world, a thin line of many colors, the flags of the nations of the world. In the shining glass and marble buildings of the United Nations, earnest men, patient men, exchange their legal verbalisms, consult their governments, twist the little dials that bridge the barriers of language, and hope. Hope that the avenue between nations will not be limited to one-way traffic or to expediency as they search for a pattern for peace. The afternoon sun slants down upon the banners of the nations, rippling idly in the wind. The reds and blues and greens and yellows, the stars and crescents and crosses and stripes, the curiously contrived shields and wreaths and crowns. And a visiting schoolchild, watching, asks a question.
Who figured them out?
You tell her, choosing the words you hope will suit her age. People. People all over the world. People who wanted something that would... You feel the lameness of your words, but you continue. Something that would stand for them.
Stand for them?
Mm-hmm. For what they believed.
Like what, mister?
Well, being free, I guess, or maybe having a country of their own.
All over the world?
Mm-hmm.
They're very pretty.
Yes. I think so, too.
And they stand for people.
Yes.
All over the world.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Mister?
You look at the fresh eyes of childhood, and somehow, with a quickening, you know the question that's coming.
Mister, if they all stand for people, why aren't they all the same?
They are different, the flags of the nations. Each one speaking its own peculiar combination of memories and aspirations. Each one tracing within the confines of its oblong shape, its own geography and custom. Yet somehow, the flags are curiously the same. For there are voices in the wind that stirs the banners of the nations. Far voices and near. And somehow, though the words may vary and the accents differ, somehow the voices, too, are curiously the same.
We will go through the rice paddy, child, quietly. No, do not fly. Someday there will be no soldiers. I promise you.
No, no, my son. You're not counting on the extra year on your planning. There's the conscription, you know. Pity.
Well, just now, gentlemen, our research will be directed toward defense matters. I do hope we will be able to return to our medical project at some future date.
Mamushka, how did Daddy die?
What do we hope for, any of us, of any nation, of any creed, of any color? We hope for a productive and good life. We hope for a deeper, fuller, richer life for our children. And above all, we hope in our time and for times to come, for peace. In the halls of the United Nations, the representatives of the peoples search earnestly, endlessly, patiently for a pattern for peace. The goal is universal, and the questions, they are universal.
How? How do we move from mistrust towards trust?
How do we travel from enmity to friendship?
The pattern. What is the pattern for peace?
All this, we agree. We will not and cannot allow this nation to exist
This is the story of how a small nation, in only a few years, has begun to breach a wall of isolation and distrust, finding in its effort a pattern for peace which may have meaning for all the world. The nation is the State of Israel, and the story begins in April of 1955 in a resort city of western Java, a place called Bandung.
Of this intruder! And for these reasons, I call upon the delegates of the Afro-Asian nations to bring to bear upon the State of Israel all possible means to destroy its economic life. In this effort,
a conference of more than 20 Afro-Asian nations declaring implacable hostility against a single, newly reborn state.
And monolithic purpose. This conference must resolve to exert unceasing pressure until this Israel, the stigma on the face of the Middle East, is totally, completely removed.
As difficult, as unpromising a starting point for building friendship as any nation has ever faced in the history of the world. In Jerusalem, the leaders of a young nation gathered.
Well,
what do we do? First, we stay strong as we can be. Agreed. We must.
We also offer our friendship.
In the face of those resolutions?
Yes, even so.
But they're violently anti-Israel.
True. But many of these nations, like our own, are new. If we can be of help to
them... It's totally impractical. They won't even listen.
Some won't.
You think others will?
If we offer practical aid, if we share our experience...
But they reject aid, far more than we can give, from the great powers.
Oh, we're no threat to these small countries. But aside from that, we have a duty towards them.
A duty? Towards people who...
Towards all people. An ancient duty. To serve all men. To be a nation that brings light.
Well, I'm sorry I spoke thoughtlessly. But this is hardly the time.
Can you think of a better?
When our own economy is stronger. When we're in a better position to help.
Perhaps we cannot do much. But let us do what we can. Let us make a beginning.
And you wish us to begin now?
Well, if not now, when? To help others, that should never be put off.
Well, we can try. And we can hope.
But?
In the face of all these obstacles, it's a program that seems, well, visionary.
Visionary? Of course it is. But so is Israel.
It is less than 5 years since the Bandung Conference. Yet in that brief time, Israel, with hope and perseverance, has sought and found avenues along which nations move from enmity to friendship, from mistrust to understanding. And if the wall stands high between Israel and her immediate neighbors still, it has been breached with a score of nations in the emerging new world of Africa and Asia. Nations like Ghana proclaimed a state only in 1957. Last spring, a young man wearing the navy blue and gold braid of a captain in Israel's merchant marine arrived in Accra, capital of Ghana.
Captain Enrico Levy reporting, sir.
Ah, welcome, Captain. We have been awaiting your arrival.
Glad to be here, sir.
All is in readiness. We have selected our young men. A building has been set aside.
And the equipment, sir?
All in order. The nautical instruments, charts, all of it. We have great hopes for the Merchant Marine Academy, Captain Levy. I wish to express formally our gratitude to your country for sending you to us.
We are grateful for the opportunity to be of service, sir.
Captain, may I ask a question? An unofficial question?
Oh, by all means, sir.
Your country, it is being very helpful. You have helped us establish a shipping line only 9 months after our proclamation of independence.
Yes, of course.
You are helping us to run that enterprise, to finance it. Yet 5 years from now, your country will turn the entire line over to Ghana. As a citizen of Israel, Captain, don't you find that rather an unusual arrangement?
Well, perhaps we are an unusual country. Perhaps we understand how important trade is for self-sufficiency.
Ah, yes. From your own experience.
And for friendship. In due season, I presume these vessels will carry goods to Israeli ports and from Israeli ports.
You have answered my first question well indeed.
And your second, sir?
Why do you, as a person, Captain, why do you choose to come here to Accra, so far from home, to set up our Merchant Marine Academy?
Sir, just after the war, I was in Italy.
Yes?
Italian sailors taught me what I know of ships and the sea. I will never forget them.
And that is why you come to Ghana?
In a way. Someday, I want the captain of a Ghana vessel to say the same of me.
The Black Star shipping line of Ghana, established with Israel's help, is already operating 6 freighters in the great waters that surround the continent of Africa. From time to time, their courses may cross the paths of ships of the Gold Star line, established by Israel with Japan, or the 5-star line, established by Israel with Burma. Is it possible that the foaming wakes of merchant ships may be strands in a pattern for peace? On land, deep in the interior of Ghana, Israeli specialists are helping in another problem that involves water.
This is how you find water?
A native farmer asks an Israeli technician at work a simple question.
Well, it's the way we found it in Israel.
Under the earth? Not flowing in a stream?
Flowing in an underground stream.
You are sure?
Well, I'm not sure we'll find water just here, but I'm sure this is the way to find it.
And when you find it, the water?
Well, then you'll be able to water your crops.
With no rain?
Yes, even without rain. We call it irrigation.
Ah. Here.
I wish to give you this. Your necklace? I thank you. I understand what you wish to say, but we do not wear necklaces.
I wish you to take it.
All right, then. I will. But why do you give it to me?
Brother from Israel. I have 11 children. Once, I had 3 others. They are no more.
I'm sorry. Truly sorry.
You know of what they died? Hunger. Because there was no drought, no water. Digger of water, I wish you to have my necklace.
Two-way traffic on the broad avenue of friendship between nations. These are the outward tokens of Israel striving for peace in Ghana alone. Multiply them by the names of a score of nations in awakening Africa and Southeast Asia, and the outlines of a pattern for peace become bold and clear.
The role of the nurse in the army is not only to care for soldiers, but to teach basic health attitudes which the soldier will carry back to his family and community.
This is the voice of Dinah Kapanovich, one of 2 Israeli nurses sent to Burma to establish a school for army nurses.
The public health problems we face in Israel are in many ways similar to those faced here in Burma. Although all
Burma and Israel, both established in 1948, have become close friends. In the 11th year of statehood for both countries, the habit of cooperation is expressed in many ways. In Israel, a group of 56 Burmese army officers and men, some with their families, are spending a year in Israel's border settlements.
It is a thing for reflection, Yaakov. For deep reflection.
Of what do you speak, Mong?
How similar are the problems of people and the hopes?
We believe that, Mong. We've believed that always, from ancient times.
The history of our countries, very different. Our customs different. our dress different.
But our hopes are the same.
Yes, and our fears. Today, I was learning how to care for a tractor.
Yes, I saw you.
I thought one keeps the tractor well. One cares for it. It is, after all, an expression of man's striving, a tractor.
Yes, I understand what you mean.
Then I thought, Yakov, this tractor, it helps make a good life for people, a full life. I am an army man. Yet, I thought, why must men take so good a thing and put heavy sheets of steel upon it and guns upon it and use it for war? Would it not be wonderful if all the tanks were made into tractors?
Mong, that's today's way of saying something very old in my people's history.
That I do not know.
Our prophet Isaiah, he said there would come a time when the swords would be hammered into plowshares.
I fear it is not yet that time, Yakov.
Oh, it comes slowly, Mong. This also we believe, a little bit at a time. Perhaps you and I, perhaps we together, are helping to bring a time when the tanks will be made into tractors.
Is it possible that the newest of the nations, the children of the family of nations, like the little child of the vision of Isaiah, will lead our world toward universal peace? The new world of Africa and Asia, with which Israel is building a new pattern of cooperation, numbers nations whose names are as yet unfamiliar to the old new world of the Americas. Dahomey, Togoland, Nigeria, Chad. Some free, some on the way to freedom, yet all striving toward self-sufficiency. Seeing in Israel's progress a pattern for tomorrow, in Israel's assistance, a pattern for peace. In every field of endeavor, Israel's effort is to share experience and knowledge.
You see here? Under the microscope?
Oh, yes. Yes. Exciting, doctor.
A hospital lab in Jerusalem.
There. There, you see? That's it. The virus.
And your next stage, doctor?
We will make research attempts at immunization.
It is a great step, doctor. A great step.
The virus grown is the virus of trachoma, the dreaded eye disease from which hundreds of millions in Africa, the Middle East, and Asia suffer. Trachoma has caused more blindness in the world than any other single infection.
The importance of your achievement, doctor. Only one of my country can really estimate it. You have been to my country, doctor?
No, I haven't had that pleasure.
Then you do not fully understand the importance to me of what I have just seen.
The visitor does not speak lightly. The visitor is from India. In India, tens of thousands of people, reduced to beggary by blindness, tap their unseeing way along the roads and thoroughfares. The work of a scientist in Israel may create a new vision for many nations in the new world of Africa and Asia.
This could be of use in my country, of great use.
The words are spoken thoughtfully by a tall man wearing a toga.
We also have a lack of natural power in my country.
His country is Chad, a nation as yet unliberated in French West Africa.
Such an invention could change the face of my nation. Of course, I do not understand how it works.
He is standing before a strangely intricate apparatus at the Negev Research Institute in Beersheba. An Israeli scientist points to the device, which stands exposed to the desert sun.
These surfaces, we've developed them during the past 2 years, they catch the heat of the sun, but they don't release any of it.
I see. And with this heat, the machine captures?
It is energy, my friend. Solar energy. With this heat, as you see, we can make steam. This plant can produce a ton of steam a day.
And with this steam?
With the steam, up to 50% of the solar energy can be converted to power. Power we can use in many ways.
What ways?
In chemical plants, for instance.
In many commercial enterprises. This plant is already providing power for our hospital here in Beersheba.
It is most logical. Always we have known the sun can heat. And now you have placed a harness on that heat.
There's something else here I want you to see.
The visitor from Chad follows the scientist into a small laboratory.
Here is something of real importance to any hot country.
A refrigerator. Oh, naturally. I have seen them before, of course.
You haven't seen one like this one, my friend.
There is something unusual in this refrigerator?
Very unusual. This refrigerator is the first solar refrigerator in the world.
It is made cold by the sun?
That's right, by the sun.
It is a remarkable land, your Israel. The sun that heats, this is as old as time. But the sun that cools, this could truly be of use in my country.
Throughout the new world of Africa and Asia, pioneering representatives of a free and striving state work together face to face with others striving for self-sufficiency. And in Israel itself, students and workers and businessmen, diplomats, teachers, scientists from more than a score of lands inquire into the ways which have helped Israel grow in the past 11 years. Men of many nations, of many races, of many creeds, stand on the ancient soil of Israel and say to a reborn people, this could truly be of use to my country. And as they say the words, they themselves create something which would be truly of use to all the world. In Tel Aviv, in the spring of 1959, a scant 4 years since the violently hostile Bandung Conference, delegates from nations throughout Africa and Asia gathered for an international seminar on cooperation. They came, more than 50 leaders, representing no fewer than 650 million people, people either liberated or in the process of attaining their independence. They came to a land whose national anthem is hope, and there was hope in their hearts as they listened to a man who spoke for the people of Israel.
My friends,
these are the words of David Ben-Gurion, Prime Minister of Israel.
My friends, of the human values which Israel has inherited from ancient times, the first and foremost are the equality of man and the love of one's neighbor, whether citizen or stranger. True solidarity cannot be founded on international strife. It must be based, first of all, on the solidarity of all human beings, derived from fraternity and mutual assistance in every sphere of life, and first of all in the economic, social, and scientific domain. We regard this meeting as a meeting of brothers, for we look upon the sons of all the peoples from all parts of the globe as brothers. We know that as brothers, this effort will bring to us no less than it brings to you.
Six 6,000 miles from Tel Aviv, on a broad avenue in a great city, a thin line of flags stands before the capital of the world. The flags are different, yet somehow curiously the same. Among them, a blue and white ensign bearing the Star of David, the flag of a people whose prophets once brought to all mankind a vision of man's goodness, of man's unity, of man's hope. Today, Israel marches forward hand in hand with the new nations of Africa and Asia, building a new path toward that ancient vision. In its pattern of brotherhood, its pattern of assistance, its pattern of unceasing hope, there may be for all the nations of the world a pattern for peace. you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Dr. Harry Halpern, spiritual leader of East Midwood Jewish Center in Brooklyn, New York, and past president of the Rabbinical Assembly of America. Dr. Halpern.
The greatest need of the world today is peace. The desire and prayer for peace are in the heart and on the tongue of every civilized human being. The catastrophic potentialities of the weapons we produce, with their staggering economic burden, compel us to search for an avenue to the peaceful cooperation of all nations. How can this be achieved? Underlying all the political plans and economic blueprints devised by men is the fundamental fact that peace is attainable only if we realize that mutual aid must be substituted for destructive competition among nations. Centuries ago, that soil which mothered three of the great religions of the world produced a group of God-inspired men, the prophets, who envisaged a world in which man's love for his fellow man would triumph over selfishness and unbridled ambition. The mysterious power which works through history has recreated that small state. Thither have streamed thousands of hapless victims of man's inhumanity to man. But its value is not only as a haven of refuge for storm-tossed thousands. It is the spot which makes possible the revival of a people's spiritual potential. To those who today are working in the cities and fields of Israel, the words of the ancient prophet Isaiah come as a fulfillment and a challenge. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and set thee for a covenant of a people, for a light unto the nations, to open the eyes of the blind and to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon. The successful effort to aid neighboring countries in wiping out trachoma. What a literal fulfillment is this of the duty to open the eyes of the blind. To bring out the prisoners from the dungeon. What a challenge this is to liberate others from the thraldom of crushing poverty, of crippling disease, and of devastating hunger. To share unselfishly the secrets which modern science discloses. To teach men how to improve their lot. To show them how to live in freedom, to be a light unto the nations. Here lies the historic achievement of Israel, and this is its contribution in fashioning a pattern for peace.
Thank you, Dr. Halpern. Our eternal light drama today, A Pattern for Peace, was written by Mark Siegel. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Guy Repp, Owen Jordan, Ben Haim, Maurice Tarplin, Guy Sorrell, Ralph Camargo, Amy Siddell, and Joanne Geffen. Our narrator was Norman Rose. This is Vic Roby. Our program was directed by George Voutsas. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.